Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. You are in for a treat tonight on the Jack Benny Show. This episode covers a lot of his funniest ground, and they're getting ready for, of course, his one of his television shows. I believe his final one of the season, and it's just everything comes to you know. On this on the Jack Benny Show, he has great episode after great episode after great episode, but every once in a while, it just kind of pushes beyond that, and when things kind of really mesh and some fresh stuff comes out, there's some bits in this that I haven't heard before, and he hasn't done before, which is great. And Elliot Lewis is on this episode for a little while. See if you can find out where he's at. The racetrack tout will be in there somewhere. I mean, and doing a bit I haven't, I don't remember him clearly doing other times, this exact bit. So it's just kind of a fantastic episode. So I hope you enjoy every bit of it, and we will see you next week for some more Jack Benny.
65. The Jack Benny Program, transcribed, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
To pick a better cigarette, you don't need sleight of hand. Try Lucky's better taste, and then they'll be your favorite brand.
Honestly, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
I roamed around the whole wide world from New York to Tibet, and I can tell you Lucky Strike's the finest cigarette. You'll discover Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky.
Friends, millions of smokers agree Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette, and here's why. You see, fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, always gives you that happy blending of perfect mildness and rich, true tobacco taste. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike's fine tobacco gives you everything you want in a cigarette. Real mildness, rich taste, complete smoking enjoyment. So if you're not happy with your present brand, and a recent 38-city survey shows that millions are not, switch to Lucky Strike. Every puff will prove Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny is in New York City, and in exactly 30 minutes, he'll be doing his television show. But let me take you back a few days to Beverly Hills, where we find Jack at home getting ready for the trip.
Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Rochester, we'll be away 12 days, so I hope you've taken care of all the little details.
As usual, I had the gas, electricity, and water turned off, and I left a note for the milkman to stop delivery.
Good. What about the evening paper?
I left instructions on that, too.
You did?
Yeah, now when they're through with it, the Colemans can just throw it away.
Good, good.
Boss, maybe you ought to stop borrowing the Colemans' paper. I got a feeling they're trying to discourage the practice.
What makes you say that?
The last two issues came wrapped around their garbage.
What?
That tea bag Dick Tracy was holding last night was real.
No kidding. Now, take Rochester. Take my grips out to the car while I call Miss Livingston.
Is Miss Livingston going with us?
No, no, but she's feeling much better and she'll be on our next show. It's Miss Livingston's sister I'm picking up.
Her sister, babe?
Yeah, she's going back to Plainfield on the same train we're taking. I'm gonna call her. Be happy, go lucky, be happy.
Hello?
Hello, Mary?
No, this is Miss Livingston's maid.
Oh, Pauline. Oh, this is Jack Benny. I didn't recognize your voice.
Well, it has been a long time.
That's right. Not since New Year's Eve.
Oh, you've taken me out since then.
Oh, yes, that drive-in movie. What a picture, huh?
Yeah. That was the first time I ever saw a picture at that drive-in.
You were never there before?
I didn't say that.
Well, the reason I called, I'm coming by to pick up Babe in my car. Put her on the phone, will you?
Okay. It's for you, ma'am.
Thank you, Pauline. Hello? Hello?
Look, mister, get off the party line till I finish.
Jack!
Come on, get off.
Jack, it's me, Babe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Babe... I just called... Babe, I just called to tell you I'll pick you up in 15 minutes.
Couldn't you make it a half hour? I'm all ready, but I have to put on my lipstick.
Well, why should that take a half hour?
Well, it's a special lipstick, and it takes longer to put on.
Oh.
But it's worth it. I've been using it for 12 years, and it doesn't smear.
Oh, is it kiss-proof?
Who knows?
You read that beautifully. Well, try and hurry. Rochester's getting the car out now.
Okay, Jack. I'll rush it. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Rochester, we'll pick up Miss Livingston's sister in about 15 minutes.
Are we going to pick up Mr. Harris, too?
No, he's going with his piano player, Charlie Bagby. I hope they're not late.
You got everything packed, Bagby?
Yeah, maestro.
Well... In less than an hour, Bagby, we'll be on that super cheap going to New York.
We've been on so many trains. Which one is the super cheap?
Well, you ought to remember the super cheap. That's the one you fell off.
No. That was the cheap.
You better wait for laughs, kid. No, Bagby, the cheap is the one they threw you off. Or was it the El Capitan?
No, the El Capitan is the one they wouldn't let me on.
Oh, yeah.
Say, Phil, how much money are you taking along for expenses?
I don't know.
How come you don't know?
I don't know how much money I'm going to take. Alice hasn't given it to me yet.
Oh.
Look, Bagby, you know something? You ought to get married, too.
Me?
Yeah, you ought to settle down and give up your bad habits like gambling, staying out half the night and drinking.
What are you trying to do, ruin my character?
Well, it's too late for your character, but there still may be a fighting chance for your liver.
I guess so. You know, Phil, it's too bad Remley couldn't make the trip with us.
Yeah, I thought he'd be over that virus by now.
Well, it's his own fault. He shivered and shook for 3 days. Why didn't he call a doctor?
Well, he didn't know it was virus. He thought it was the usual thing. Well, let's see. I wonder if I got everything.
Are you taking any books along to read on the train?
Books? No, I'm off books.
Why?
Well, I just finished the one I started last January, and I was kind of disappointed in it.
What's the matter? Was it dull?
No, it was exciting enough, but it was unbelievable. Imagine a giant living in a beanstalk.
Hey, that's the book you borrowed from me. When are you going to give it back?
You get it back. I want to look at them pictures again. Now, come on, Bagby, let's get going, huh?
Sorry I kept you waiting, Jack.
Oh, that's all right, babe. It gave me a chance to talk to Mary. She feels pretty good now, doesn't she?
Yeah, she'll probably be back in your show next week.
I hope so. She needs the money, you know. Well, there's the car. Babe, let me help you. Let me help you with your trunk, will you?
Thanks.
Gee, it's heavy. There. Now take it easy so it won't fall off your shoulder.
Easy.
Now steer me to the car.
Sir, now watch it, watch it. Don't laugh, the trunk will fall off. A little to the left, a little to the right. Now just dump it in the back seat there. There we are. Now let's get in the car. Start the motor, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Rochester, I can't understand that motor. Maybe there's some dirt on the spark plug.
There must be. There's some beautiful flowers growing there.
Darn this spring weather. Start the motor again, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Well, there we are. Now we're on our way.
Jack, do we have to stop and pick up anyone else?
No, Phil is coming with Bagby, and Dennis is driving down with his mother.
Dennis, did you tell the cab driver where to go?
Yes, Mother, the Union Station.
Well, I hope we don't miss the train. What time is it?
It's exactly 1:15. Now it's 1:20.
That's the meter! Now, Dennis, remember what I told you. I want you to take good care of yourself while you're in New York. Watch out for pickpockets.
Oh, don't worry, Mother. I pin my money to my underwear. A little trick I learned from Mr. Benny.
Mr. Benny pins his money to his underwear?
Yeah, when he takes off his shirt, he looks like an artichoke.
I can imagine. Now, Dennis, what hotel are you going to stay at in New York?
Oh, the one Mr. Benny always takes me to, the Acme Plaza.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Dennis. You don't have to live at that dump just because Mr. Benny stays there.
Oh, I like the Acme Plaza, Mother. It's such fun. They play a wonderful game every morning.
Game?
Uh-huh. All the guests gather in the lobby and draw straws to see who's first in the bathroom. You know, Mother, I'm really excited about going to New York. This time I'm going to visit all my friends.
You have friends in New York? Who?
Well, there's Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malarkham, Horn, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dooley...
Ah! Shut up! Now, Dennis, it's all right to... Driver, turn around and watch where you're going.
Oh, please, lady, I only turn around because I recognize your son. He's my favorite singer.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Dennis, sing for the nice man.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, driver, you come back here and listen. I'll take the wheel.
Okay. In your arms, to be in your arms, all that I ask of you. When you're gone, how brave the dawn, and cold is the moon above. But tonight it's on fire, closer.
Okay, Rochester, the light changed. You can go now.
Yes, sir.
Jack, why don't you buy a new car?
I'll tell you why, babe, because they don't make cars today like they used to.
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, take a simple matter like the steering wheel. Today they make them out of plastic. But the steering wheel on this car is made out of seasoned mahogany with solid steel spokes.
Really?
Yeah, here, take a look.
Put that back on. For goodness sakes, Rochester, just tend to your driving.
Yes, sir.
Say, Jack, I meant to ask you, who are you having on your television show?
Gee, you read that beautifully. Do it again, babe. I want you to get used to radio. Go ahead.
Say, Jack, I meant to ask you, who are you having on your television show?
Well, babe, I managed to get three great guest stars. I'm having Claudette Colbert, Robert Montgomery, and Basil Rathbone.
Gee, that's wonderful. How did you get them to appear with you on television?
I sent them a telegram and signed it Senator Kefauver. And you know, babe, on Thursday, I'm going to be on the radio show Suspense. Gee, I'm so ticked. A blowout.
Rochester, aren't you going to fix it?
If we stop with those silly things, we'd never get anywhere.
Rochester, you better stop the car.
Jack, I'm afraid we'll be late. Look what time it is. 2:45.
That's the meter.
Yeah. Turn it off, Rochester. It's only us. We got plenty of time. Now stop the car and we'll change the tire. Well, we finally got to the station, babe. Let's go in.
Train now leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Come on, babe.
Gee, I'm ashamed to go on the train the way I look. Fixing that tire ruined my outfit.
Yes, there is a little grease on your T-shirt there.
Correction, please. The train scheduled to stop at Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga will only go to Anaheim and Azusa. Cucamonga was moved on account of the freeway.
Say, babe, you wait here in case any of the gang shows up. I'm going to get a couple of magazines.
Okay, Jack.
Let's see. What magazine should I get?
Can I help? Why, it's Mr. Benny.
Mr. Kipper. Mr. Kitzel, I didn't know you worked here.
I do. This is my brother's magazine stand. I'm just helping him out. The poor fellow got such trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Tomorrow, his wife's relatives are coming from the east to visit him. And today he gets sick with the intentional flu.
No, Mr. Kitzel. His flu is intestinal.
It's intentional. You should see his relatives.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, I'd like to get a couple of magazines. Let's see. I'll take Collier's and Look.
Collier's and Look. Here you are.
Attention, please. Trains now leaving on track 7 and 11 for Las Vegas and all points the hard way.
Well, Mr. Kitzel...
These trains are pulled by diesel engines.
Mr. Kitzel...
Roll 'em.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, it was nice seeing you. And I hope...
Oh, pardon me, clerk, but I'm in a bit of a hurry. Could
you... Oh, Don!
Oh, hello, Jack. I didn't see you.
And you didn't recognize me either, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I must apologize, Mr. Kitzel, but I was in a hurry and I wanted to get...
Me, you don't have to tell what you want. Automatically, I'm reaching to get you some Lucky Strikes.
Well...
I've heard you say it so many times that lockies are so round, so slim, so fully packed. And they're so easy and they're free.
No, Mr. Kitzel, they're not free. See, they're free and easy on the draw.
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you.
But, Mr. Wilson, I read where a recent survey in 38 cities showed that millions of smokers aren't satisfied with their present brand of cigarettes. Imagine all those people going around unhappy when all they got to do is change to Lucky Strike. This, to me, is sad.
Oh, it really is.
So, here's your Lucky Strike.
Thank you.
Take them and be happy. Go lucky, be happy. Go lucky, Strike, be happy. Go lucky, and thank you for the sale. Pooley, poo, 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 poo.
Mr. Kitzel, and Don, excuse me, I better get back to bathe.
Attention, please. Train now leaving on track 8 for Barstow, Albuquerque, Kansas City, Chicago, and Cucamonga. They really moved it.
Babe, did you see any of our gang?
No, did you?
Only Don, and he wasn't a
hurry. Hiya, bud. Long time no see.
Huh? Oh, hello. Come on, babe.
Who was that?
Oh, that's that tout. He must have been here for the Santa Anita races. Oh, look, here comes Dennis and his mother. Hello, Mrs. Day.
Hello. Now, Mr. Benny. Once my boy gets on that train, he's your responsibility.
I know.
And when you get to New York, I want you to take better care of Dennis than you did the last time. Don't be taking him to that place called Minsky's.
Minsky's?
Why, Jack, you didn't take Dennis to a burlesque show.
Babe, Minsky's happens to be the name of a delicatessen. Isn't that right, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
See?
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
Remember that third salami from the end?
What? Now, come on, kid. Let's all get on the train.
Wait a minute, Jack. I want to get some chewing gum.
Some chewing gum? I'll get it for you, babe. You wait right here. See, I mustn't forget to get my ticket validated, too. I'll do it right after
hey,
I...
Bud.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Look, fella.
Where are you going?
I'm going to buy some chewing gum.
What kind?
Spearmint.
Uh-uh.
What?
Get bubble gum.
Bubble gum? Why?
It's great in the stretch.
Well, I don't know. What about chiclets?
Chiclets haven't got a chance.
Why not?
They're boxed in.
But I like chiclets.
Now, be smart, bud, and take bubble gum. Just look at the breeding.
The breeding?
Yeah. It's by penny on a slot machine.
Oh, well, I don't care about that. I'm going to get spearmint.
Okay, it's your dough.
Gee, look what time it is. I won't have time. I'll get some gum on the train.
Hey, Jackson!
Huh? Oh, hello, Phil. I'm glad you got here in time. What's that you're carrying under your arm?
Bagby.
So soon?
Oh, he's sober. I owe him this for carrying me last night.
Oh, well, you better get him on the train.
Hey, Jackson, by the way, you forgot to get Bagby's ticket.
I did?
Yeah.
Well, here's mine. I'll get myself another one. I'll see you on the train.
Attention, please. Will passengers who just arrived on the train from Catalina Please get in your taxis. You're dripping all over the station.
Now, let's see. Now, here's the ticket window. Oh, pardon me. Are you the ticket clerk here?
Yeah. I used to be at Pasadena, but they moved me on account of the freeway.
That's very funny.
Thank you.
Attention, please. He stole that joke from me.
Now, look, clerk. Now, let's not have any trouble here. I want a ticket to New York.
Return trip?
No, one way.
Good.
Now, cut that out. I'm coming back by plane. So just do what
I... Excuse me, sir, but may I go ahead of you? I'm in a hurry.
Well, yes, I guess so.
Well, you see, I'm just going on my vacation for 3 weeks, and I don't want to waste a minute of it. Clerk, will you give me a ticket?
Yes, sir. Where to?
Oh, I don't care. Any place is all right with me.
Well, the next train out is going to Nashville, Tennessee.
No, not there. I don't want to go back to that state again.
Why not? What happened there?
Well, I'll tell you. I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see.
And you introduced him to your loved one?
Yes. And while they were waltzing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me.
Well, why don't you try to forget?
Forget? I remember the night in the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost.
Look, mister.
You keep out of it. Just what did you lose? Well, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee Waltz.
Well, what are you crying for? You're number one on the hit parade.
I told you to keep out of it.
I'm sorry.
Well, look, how about a ticket to Banff? Oh, yes, that'll be swell.
Oh, you'll enjoy it there. It's very close to Lake Louise.
Oh, no. I can't go there.
Why not?
Louise was the name of my little darling.
Oh,
the one I was dancing with to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I have...
Look, one chorus is enough. Now, clerk, give me my ticket, will you?
Attention, please. The following trains are now ready to depart. The Super Chief, the El Capitan, the City of Los Angeles, the Golden State Limited, and the Lark. There they go. Super Chief out in front, City of Los Angeles is second, the Capitan is third, the Lark is fourth, and Golden State Limited.
What is this?
Going into the turn, it's still Super Chief by a headlight, the Lark is second by a dining car, El Capitan is third by three compartments in the bedroom, and coming up past the City of Los Angeles on the rail.
What is this anyway?
Coming into the half, Super Chief is still out in front. City of Los Angeles is second by a Pullman. And coming up in third place is the Lark, with the engineer using the whip. And coming up fast on the outside is Mary's sister, Bay.
Jack, we'll be back in just a moment. Now let's have a bit of April 1st fun.
April Foolin's lots of fun, but neighbors, we're not joking when we say Lucky's better taste gives extra joy in smoking.
No kidding. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Most cigarettes look quite alike, but that does not fool me, 'cause I know fine tobacco counts in LSMFT. That's why Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Yes, every puff of every Lucky always gives you that perfect blending of real mildness and rich, true tobacco taste. For fine tobacco and only fine tobacco makes a cigarette completely enjoyable. And you know, LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So to get everything you want in a cigarette, switch to Lucky Strike. You'll enjoy the perfect mildness and rich taste that Lucky Strike and only Lucky Strike can give you. Yes, be happy. Go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Rochester, I've got to get out on stage to do my television show in 30 seconds. Now hurry up and finish making me up.
Boss, I'm just putting a little more Maybelline on you.
Why?
Those baby blue eyes don't look good with gray lashes.
Oh, yes, yes. Good night, folks.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. The Jack Benny Show is heard by our armed forces overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Transcribed, this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Remley, I'm going to open the show the same way we did last week, with a commercial.
Oh, wait a minute, Curly. Just because you got by with it last week, don't press your luck. You know Mr. Scott of RCA Victor doesn't want our names connected with their products.
Well, we didn't get any kickbacks from him last week.
Only because he's on his vacation and didn't hear it.
Then we're going to slip another one in. I just want to remind the people, Remley, that before they buy, they should look at the background of RCA Victor. What it stands for. Remley, you know that they're bound to have the best...
All right, Curly, you don't have to tell me. Tell the people.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. On with the show, Bill Foreman.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents transcribed the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Here's a word from RCA Victor. Why do more people choose RCA Victor television than any other make? The reason can be summed up in just one word. Quality. Million-proof quality. Proven in over 2 million homes. RCA Victor television is America's favorite television because feature for feature, it's America's finest television. With RCA Victor, for example, you enjoy clear, bright, steady pictures that are locked in place by RCA Victor's exclusive eyewitness picture synchronizer. You choose your set from 14 separate models, every one a masterpiece of superb engineering and quality craftsmanship. Next chance you get, step into your RCA Victor dealers and look over the very finest television in America today. At the same time, add these two great RCA Victor Red Seal performances to your record collection. September Song, sung by Ezio Pinza, and the album of selections from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess with Reza Stevens and Robert Merrill. Phil has a recording contract with RCA Victor Records that calls for him to make a new record every month. However, for the past 2 months, the company hasn't asked him to make any new records. And Phil, Alice, and Frankie have gone down to see the vice president of Victor and find out why.
What do you mean I got a lousy voice?
I didn't say that, Harris.
Well, somebody in this room said it.
That was me, Curly.
Remley, keep quiet. This is my business, and I'll thank you to keep your corkscrew nose out of it.
I was just trying to help.
Trying to help.
Well, you were all puzzled about why your records haven't been selling lately, and I was the only one who came up with an intelligent answer.
Well, Phil's records have been selling, haven't they, Mr. McDevitt?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, on his last record alone, the company stands to make in the neighborhood of $8.
Well, I felt sure I was doing better than that. Mr. McDevitt, how do the sales of my records compare with your other recording stars?
Well, I have the list right here. Let me see. Here you are. You're tied for last place with Cohen on the telephone.
Don't get gay, McDevitt. People like to hear me sing on the radio show I do for RCA Victor, and if my last record didn't sell, it wasn't my fault. Now, maybe the tune wasn't any good.
Maybe the arrangement wasn't right.
Maybe the record was mechanically imperfect.
Maybe they couldn't find enough tone-deaf people to buy it.
You don't have to be tone-deaf to like my voice.
But it helps.
Now, just a minute, Mr. McDevitt. I want you to stop making fun of Phil's voice. I happen to like it.
Do you think it's good?
Don't change the subject.
All right. Now, look, McDevitt, the fault is with your sales force. They just don't know how to sell my records.
Sell them, he says. We started out on that basis, but that didn't work. Then we tried giving them away, but that didn't work either. We even tried smuggling them into Rudy Valley albums.
All right. Never mind why my last record didn't sell. As I always say, that's water over the dam.
Yes, there's no point in crying over spilled milk. Maybe the next one will be better.
Yeah, perhaps, but we can't count our chickens until they're hatched.
Well, now that everybody else has coined the cliche, it's my turn. A bird in the hand saves nine.
Francis, you mixed a metaphor.
I'm sorry, girlie. But as long as I have it mixed, will you join me in one?
I don't mind if I do. Put an olive in it and strain the ice, please.
Gentlemen, please, let's get back to business. We're anxious for you to make another record, Harris, but frankly, we're having trouble finding a song for you to do. Your type of song is, shall we say, unusual? Not everybody can write them.
You mean somebody writes that stuff?
Of course. How do you think my songs are created?
I thought you put a lot of notes in a hat, mix them well, dump them out on a piece of fly paper, and whatever sticks there is your song.
Well, we used to use the fly paper method. But one day in the middle of a tune, three of the notes took off and flew away. And my trumpet player, who in his spare time was an entomologist, he chased the note for two blocks, and he was just about
all
to
right,
catch it.
All right.
Well, you started it, didn't you?
Well, I'm sorry I mentioned it.
Harris, as soon as we find a novelty tune for you, we'll let you know. In the meantime, you look around, and perhaps you can find one yourself.
Okay, Mr. McDevitt, and thanks. Come on, let's get out of here, huh? Gee whiz, there must be some place we can find a good tune for me. If we could only find another ballad like The Thing.
Do you think the world is ready for that?
Well, if we could only find somebody to write another hit like that.
Curly, why look around for somebody else to write it?
What do you mean?
Why don't we write one?
Yeah. Yeah. You and me will write a song. Now you're talking, Remley.
Yeah, he may be talking, but he isn't saying anything. Oh, you fellas can't write a song.
What are you talking about? We'll be a great songwriting team. Come on, shall we go home and get started writing, Mr. Hammerstein?
I'm right on your tail, Mr. Rogers.
Right up.
And Alice thought we couldn't write a song.
Yeah. There's nothing to this. We've only been on it 3 hours, and already we're on the way to a great song.
You said it. Hey, Remley, play what we wrote so far.
Okay.
Oh, what a note. What a lovely note. And to think it's all ours. Play it through once more, Remley. Beautiful.
Now if we can only find another note to follow that, we got a hit.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to drop this for a while and get to work on the lyrics.
Well, you better let me handle that department. Let me handle that department. I know all about that kind of stuff.
You do, huh?
Natch. Now look, there are 8 lyrics. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
I didn't think you knew it.
Happens to be my business.
Curly, I may not know much about music, but there's one thing I do know. Those are not lyrics.
No?
Those are vowels.
Oh. Well, let's forget the lyrics for a while and write the words.
Well, before we do that, let's decide on a title.
Let's see.
What we call it?
The Thing was a great success. If we could If we could only follow it with...
Curly, I got the title.
What?
The Son of the Thing.
I don't know, Remley.
No, but Curly, it has endless possibilities. We could follow that up with a series. The Thing goes to Princeton. Then
wait a minute,
the Thing becomes engaged to Tallulah Bankhead.
Wait a minute.
The Thing grows another head.
Remley.
The Thing gives birth to an 8-pound bagel.
Cut! An 8-pound bagel. What's the matter with you? Maybe we can call it
the... Well, boys, how's the songwriting team coming? Have you written anything yet?
Have we written anything? Hey, Remley. Play our song for Alice. Okay. What do you think of it, honey?
Phil, you can't steal that entire song.
What song?
That's Goodnight, Irene, and you know it.
Yeah, now that you mention it, it does sound similar. Hey, wait a minute. I got a way of switching this. We'll do the same thing, and we'll put it in 3/4 time.
No, I tried it in 3/4 time, Curly. It won't work.
Why not?
That way it sounds like the Tennessee Waltz.
Who are you fellas trying to kid? I told you you couldn't write a song. You've been at this all day and you only have one note.
Yeah. Hey, Curly, maybe we've been going at this in the wrong way. Maybe we ought to get an idea and write the words first, then fit the music to it.
All right, let's try it. Now, what are we going to write about? Remember, Remley, I want something different.
What do you mean, different? There have been songs written about everything possible.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard any good stomach pump ballads lately.
Have you, Curly?
No, I can't say that I have. I don't think they've written any tunes about a sluggish liver either lately.
Bill, please.
No, huh?
Hey, Curly, let's write something nostalgic. Like a song about your hometown.
They wrote a song about my hometown. Do what, did he?
They've written a lot of songs about where I spent my youth. Little old New York.
How about a song about where I spent my youth?
Your youth? Yeah, man, I can see that title now. Gee, but I'd give the world to see that old chain gang of mine.
Curly, please, I was a model child. I was a Boy Scout, a member of the 4-H Club, and every year at the county fair, I won the blue ribbon for my persimmon preserves. And you should have tasted my pickled pig's nickel.
I imagine. Pig's nickels, huh? Now, just what part of the pig is that? You got a pig with money, huh? How'd you make him with a trigger finger?
Well, why don't you give up? You can't write a song.
We're not giving up. A lyric writer like that, we're a cinch. Pig's nickels. Look, you can't expect this to come up, honey, with a song in 5 minutes.
No, it takes a lot of time and patience to steal a good tune.
Now, wait a minute, Remley. We don't have to lift nothing. We're partners, and together we can do this. Now, with my brains, talent, and ability, and your... All right, my half, go steal yours.
Curly, you don't sound like you have confidence in me.
Oh, Frankie, how can you say that? I have as much confidence in your ability as you have in mine.
We're in big trouble.
Frankie, we're starting off on the wrong foot. In order to be a successful songwriting team, each partner has to have confidence in the other. Why, the Mikado never would have been written if Gilbert didn't have faith in Ed Sullivan.
And White Christmas never would have been written if Irving didn't get along with Berlin.
Certainly. They had faith in each other's ability.
Who did?
Sam Irving and Clyde Berlin. You're not paying attention, dear.
No, you're right, Curly. We must respect each other's ability. Now let's buckle down and show the world that we can write a great song.
And they did write a song. It took them a few days, but they finished their masterpiece this morning. I was in the kitchen when, suddenly, There was a shout.
Alice, come in here quick.
Coming, Phil. What is it?
Honey, we finished our song.
Yep. We just have to write two more notes for the ending. That does it.
That's what we said, right?
Well, what kind of a song did you fellas write? A ballad, a rumba, or a waltz?
Oh, it's better than that. We wrote a Chinese folk song.
This is a Chinese folk song.
Yeah. We got a great title for it. We call it Chopsticks.
Or I'll be down to get you in a rickshaw, honey.
Oh, fellas, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but this song has already been written.
It has? Remley, this tune is your idea. Now, did you ever hear it before?
No. I'll admit there's a song that's similar to it. That one goes... But ours is different. Ours goes... See? It's entirely different.
Different, huh? Who are you trying to kid? If there's one thing I know, it's music. That's the same song. All you did was to sing it one octagon higher.
Fellas, if you have to write a song, write a love song. I tell you what, if it's any good, I'll sing it for you.
Oh, do you sing, miss?
Happens to be my business. Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the moment we kissed tonight, that's the way I've just got to behave. Boy, if I were a lamp, I'd light. Or if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me how do I feel, little me with my quiet upbringing. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my spring boing. Or if I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Ask us how do we feel from this chemistry lesson we're learning.
All right, boys, how do you feel?
Well, dear, all we can say is if we were a bridge, we'd be burning.
I knew my morale would crack.
You gotta be careful.
From the wonderful way that he looked. Mm-hmm. Boy, if I were a duck, I'd quack. Or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked. Ask me how do I feel. Ask me now that we're fondly caressing.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, if I were a salad, I just know I'd be splashing my dressing.
Or if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. Or if I were a bell, I'd go. If I were a bell, I'd go. If I were a bell, I'd go. Ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Hey, that was a swell song, Frankie. I wish we could write one like that.
If you like it, Curly, I got an idea.
Now, wait a minute. Now, we ain't gonna steal it.
No, of course not. But if we play If I Were a Bell backwards, nobody will recognize
it. Will you shut up now, please?
Or how about the Star-Spangled Banner sideways?
Phil, do me a favor and forget the whole thing.
You want some pig's nickels? You sound like you got a mouthful of pig's nickels. Straighten out where you people been.
Phil, do me a favor and forget the whole thing. You've become the laughingstock of the neighborhood. Everybody in town knows that you're trying to write a song.
How they know? Who told them?
Well, I had to explain the horrible noises that were coming from the house. Everybody in town thinks you're crazy. It's humiliating.
People always ridicule creative genius. They said Edison was crazy. They said Marconi was crazy.
They said Robert Fulton was crazy.
They even said Sam Frumkus was crazy.
Who is Sam Frumkus?
My uncle. He was crazy.
Julius, what are you doing here?
I heard you guys was writing a song and I hurried right over so I could be the first one to tell you it stinks.
Julius, that's not a nice thing to say.
you guys writing a song for?
Well, I have to. RCA Victor wants me to make more records, but they can't find a song for me to do.
I see.
You see, I have a distinctive style, lad. And, well, the fellow who writes my type of songs don't grow on trees.
What do they grow on?
Look, kid, will you get lost? I'm busy. Just beat it, will you, please? Frankie and me have got to get back to writing my song.
What do you need him for? Why don't you do it yourself? Haven't you got enough brains?
Yeah, I got enough brains. I could do it myself, but I figured I could turn out a great song with Mr. Remley's help.
I see your point. Three heads are better than one. What's so tough about writing a song? Anybody can write a song.
Did you ever write a song?
Glad you asked me that. Just happened to have one in my back pocket.
Oh, no, not you too, Julius.
Ah, you like this song, Miss Faye? It's a love song. If I get it published, I want you to be the first one to sing it, Miss Faye. And if you do, I'll dedicate it to you.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. What's the name of the song?
They all think my girl has a bald spot on top, but it's really a hole in her head.
Yes, I don't think that's my type of song.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's see there. Sounds like a pretty good novelty tune. I might be able to do it. Let me see that music.
Here you are.
Let me see. That's not bad. They might really have a hole in the head. Your bond is still my sweet honey bond. Hey, this is really something.
This guy is amazing. I give him a copy of the Police Gazette and he's singing it.
This is music. And look at these notes right here. I could Oh, she's wearing a polka dot bathing suit. I wondered why them notes look so sexy. Let me have the music now, kid.
What for?
Well, if I like it, I might do a big favor and make a record of it for you.
This is a big favor?
Well, of course it is. I happen to be a big RCA singing star, and if I introduce your song, do you know what'll happen?
Yeah, it'll be an overnight flop. There's only one guy who can take a song and make it a hit, and that's Bing.
Bing who?
Bing Rappaport, you jerk!
Look, kid, let me have that song. Julius, if I like this thing, I'm willing to introduce it on my radio program.
You are? You mean you'll take my little song and sing it on your program? You'll sing it with all the voice and feeling you got? You'll do the same thing for my song that you've done for all the other songs you've sung?
Yes, I will.
You really hate me, don't you? Give me back my song. I'm getting out of here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Curly, there's something frightening about that kid. Have you ever seen his mother and father?
Yeah. They're nice people.
Then how do you account for him?
Maybe he was under the house when they bought it. Well, you forget him and let's get back to the song. Don't worry about him.
You mean you fellas haven't given up yet?
Well, I can't give up. I need a song, and if I'm going to make a record, I got to have a song.
Bill, you can't write a song, and you know it.
I can, too. I'm a musician, and within my breast burns an artistic desire for expression, and I am determined that this fire shall not remain closeted within my bosom.
Keep talking, Red Eyes. You fascinate me.
Broke! I didn't hear that doorbell. Now, how did you get in here?
Through this second story. I like to keep in practice.
Well, what are you doing here?
I've come to help you. I hear you're looking for a new song.
So?
So I have written one. And you are going to make a record of it.
Supposing I don't want to.
Who's asking you? You are making a record of this tune.
Who's gonna make me?
I am.
And you're just a kid that can do it.
It's better. Now we'll go down and make the record tonight.
All right, Grogan, I'll make the record. But before I do, what's the song about?
Don't get nosy. You can buy a record tomorrow and find out.
Now run over to Tom once or twice, then we'll go down to the recording studio and we'll make the record.
Now, just a minute, Grogan. You can't come into my friend's house and tell him what to do. One more crack out of you and I'll have Curly eject you. Won't you, Curly?
Yeah, I'll be very happy to eject him.
You aren't going to throw me out?
Is that what that word means? Emily, why don't you tell me these things? What's up? Are you trying to get me killed or something? I'll be very happy to do your song, Grogan. What's it about?
Well, I got two songs. You can have your choice. There's one that's a kind of a cowboy's lament, you see, and the other is a mutter song.
Well, let me hear the mutter one. I don't think there's ever been a song about a horse who runs on a wet track.
This ain't about a horse, it's about a mutter. A mutter. Who's married to your father?
Oh, Mom. But, Grogan, there's been a lot of mother songs already written.
Well, no, not about a mother like mine. Now, quiet while I sing this. Remember, no crying during a rendition because heavy sniffling distracts me. All right, here I go. M is for the mob she used to run with. U is for the other racket she was in. D is for the dum-dums in her Luger. The other D is for my daddy who the dum-dums dimmed. E is for her eyes so hard and shifty. R is for the rat who turned her in.
Put them all together, they spell mother. A word that means the world to me.
That is beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. Hey, that's my new tune. Hey, Alice.
What is it, Phil?
Get RCA on the phone and tell him that we got the best mother song since I Want Some Seafood, Mama. Yeah.
Here's a word from RCA Victor. Long-haired symphony or short-haired jive, they both sound best on 45. RCA Victor's modern system of recorded music. And whether you want to cut a rug or relax, the RCA Victor 45 record changer sets you free to do it. You can make up your own programs quickly and easily. You can select just the music you want when you want it. And the 45 will give you almost an hour of continuous music at the push of one button. Your RCA Victor dealer will be happy to introduce you anytime to the whole family of 45 instruments. Be sure you pay special attention to the very special Victrola 45 Personal. It's a complete automatic phonograph in a smart plastic case with a handy handle. You can carry it with you and plug it in for music wherever you go. Get personally acquainted with the Victrola 45 Personal soon. It could be the start of the most beautiful friendship you ever made in recorded music. Yes? Long hair symphony or short hair jive, they both sound best on 45. The 45 RPM system of recorded music by RCA Victor.
This is Phil again, and I'd like to thank all of our friends out there for listening, and Alice and myself and our entire cast hope that you make this a regular Sunday night habit. And to all of you nice people in the audience, you were so wonderful that we just have time to say good night.
Good night, everybody.
This program was produced and transcribed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Sheldon Leonard and Frank Nelson. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or records, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the 1945-46 season of the Jack Benny Show from 65 years ago this week. We have an episode of the Jack Benny Show that features Mel Blanc in a bigger role than he often gets on the show. And so I thought I would do a little Mel Blanc podcast here. Mel Blanc had been on the show for many years, on and off again, doing little parts. But really, in right after the war in 1945-46 is where Mel started to show up more often on the show. Of course, do his Professor LeBlanc, do the voice of Polly the Parrot, certainly do the train announcer's voice of announcing the trains coming in on track 5. And at the same time, Frank Nelson started to do more and more of his roles with the yes and the whole thing going on. With Mel, he, next season in the 1946-47 season, he will have his own show that they try, the Mel Blanc Show. And we'll play some episodes of that next season to celebrate its 65th anniversary. One thing I thought I'd mention is I was watching the Jack Benny Show on Sunday night here locally, and they were playing an episode from 1962 in which Mel's featured on it. And something struck me as kind of strange, and then I started thinking about it some more, and I remembered that in 1961, Mel was involved in a near-fatal car crash. It was even announced that he had died, but then, of course, that was taken back because he didn't die. So, and lucky for all of us, he lived another, 30 years or so, and died in 1989. Well, after this car crash, both of his legs were broken. His pelvis was broken. He was in a coma for 3 weeks. His his cranium was broken in some spots and so forth. So it was bad. But I think within 8 weeks, something like that, he was back doing the voice of Barney Rubble again, but they would do it from his hospital bed. And some folks took over his voice for a few weeks, but not too many. And then he was able to come back and continue to do the voice of Barney Rubble. Well, on this episode that I was watching of the Jack Benny Show, it's similar to the train station episodes, like the one we just had on Sunday night. But in this case, it takes place in an airport. And the driver taking him to the airport starts to cry a lot. And I was thinking, boy, that part seems like it's written for Mel Blanc and not for, you know, this guy. And so I thought, well, they probably just couldn't get Mel because it was just too obviously written for Mel. Well, then they get to the airport, and you can hear over the intercom Mel's voice doing the plane arriving on track 5 sort of thing. And someone, why didn't they have Mel, since he was there to do that, why didn't they have him do the taxi driver scene? But then it all came together and it was like, oh yeah, this is right after his accident. So they couldn't feature him. There was the taxi driver part had a lot of in and out of the taxi and so forth, that I think, and turning around where I think Mel would have trouble with it. So they had him do the voiceover work for the announcer, which makes sense that he could do that. But then when I really noticed it was when he did the CSI routine. Because Jack's talking to Don, and he's sitting down while he's talking to Don, and which seemed kind of awkward. But it made sense because sitting down a few seats away was Mel Blanc under a sombrero. And he gets up from Don and goes and has a conversation and sits down next to Mel Blanc. Well, Mel never moves his legs, never moves his never moves any part of his body except for his head, and does a great Psy-C routine with Jack, and the routine just really hit me that it was like, wow, he's pulling this off while he's still basically incapacitated. And it took me knowing what had happened to him to put this all together, and I thought, that's pretty impressive to be able to pull that off. So if you ever get a chance to see that episode, interesting to see it and understand what's going on with Mel Blanc at the time. Anyway, enjoy Mel Blanc tonight. He has a great part in this episode, and we will see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, this is the month of March. And as I mentioned before, we're broadcasting from March Field. So here we are at March Field in the month of March.
Now, isn't that clever? Get it, fellas? March Field, month of March. It took four writers to think of that. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, March is the month that comes in like a lion.
That's enough, Sergeant. Just sit down. Sit down, then.
Yes, folks, it comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Lie down, Bob.
We can't bring you a lamb or a lion, but we can bring you an elk. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I don't happen to belong to the Elks. This tooth I'm wearing on my watch chain is a souvenir of the First World War. An MP gave it to me.
An MP gave it to you?
Yes, one night I talked back to him, and he just happened to bump his knuckle on my tooth as he pulled his fist out of my mouth. He handed me my tonsils, too, but they didn't fit on my chain.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. An MP can arrest you, but he has no right to jam his fist in your mouth.
Don't worry, Don. I got even with him.
What'd you do?
I swallowed his flashlight. Oh. For the next 3 months, every time I sat down, my eyes lit up. I was the only guy that could read in bed after 9 o'clock. But let's not talk about me after... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Bright Eyes. Hiya, fellas.
Well, Mary, how do you like it here?
Fine. I always enjoy visiting a naval base.
Mary, March Field isn't a naval base.
It is during the rainy season, brother.
Oh, yes. You know, fellas, we had that joke 5 years, but during the war, they wouldn't let us discuss weather conditions. For 5 long years, nobody knew it rained in California.
That's right. Rain is back and California's got it.
You said it.
Say, Jack, I meant to ask you. You going to take me to the dance tonight at the Officers Club?
Wait a minute, Mary. What about the date you've got with Colonel Coons? You know, you told me that at 8 o'clock tonight, he was going to take his jet-propelled plane and fly all the way to New York and back. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but what am I going to do the rest of the evening?
Oh, yes, yes. Say, those planes really go fast, don't
they? Fast? Yesterday, when one of those jet planes was getting ready to fly east, the crew chief said ready, the pilot said okay, and between O and K, he landed in Chicago.
You know, fellas, we wrote that joke 5 years ago, but they didn't have jet planes then. They got them now, though. About a month ago, one of those planes flew from Los Angeles to San Diego in 10 minutes and 17 seconds.
Gosh, that's almost as fast as the Riverside bus.
Yeah. Certainly is.
You know, Jack, I've been reading up on those new planes. They're going to have a lot of these jet-propelled P-80s in the AAF.
AAF?
Yes, the Army Air Forces.
Oh.
What are you laughing at, Barry?
Jack's a P-50 VPP.
P-50 VPP?
A past 50 vitamin pill propelled.
We wrote that 5 years ago. I was only 32. Yes, sir. And don't be so funny, because...
Hiya, fellas. That Jackson is great, but here comes Harris like a P-38.
Well, if it isn't our own little Grassy Acres over here.
Grassy Acres?
Yes, Phil, that's a spot here in camp that's just like you. It's green, pretty, and useless.
I'm not so green. I know what's going on. I'm hep. I ain't no paddle foot.
Paddle foot? What's that?
Well, that's an officer that commands an LSD.
LSD?
Large steel desk.
Oh, yes. The top of the desk is a landing strip for their feet.
Yeah. Say, Jackson, you're pretty sharp today.
You would be, too, if you'd get here for rehearsal.
What are you talking about?
Mary and I stopped in Riverside, and we saw you coming out of the Chi-Chi bar.
What did you say the name of that place was?
Chi-Chi.
Oh, bless you. I thought I was seeing double.
Well, for you, that isn't hard, you know? Anyway, Phil, we'll forget about that. Now, here we are at March Field, so let's show the boys we're glad we came down.
Well, you're right, Jackson. There's something about this place that really gets into you, especially when the wind blows.
What?
It gets in your shoes, gets in your hair, gets in your ears.
I know.
Well, I wrote that joke 5 years ago.
And it still fits. I know, yeah. Maybe so, Phil, but in spite of that, March Field is a great place, and the boys are very happy here. That's because there are so many things to do.
You're right, Jack. There are a lot of things for the boys to do, but there's only one trouble.
What's that, Mary?
If you like it, it's out of bounds.
Well, they have to have rules, Mary. After all, there's some important training going on here.
Important training?
Certainly, Phil. Haven't you seen the fellows here take these jet planes up and zoom and dive and roll and spin? That goes on for 3 months.
What happens after that, Jackson?
They get a license to drive a car in California. Say, I'm really hot today. You see, Phil, if you'd come to rehearsal, you'd... That's funny.
Well, what's the matter, Jack?
Look, that soldier sitting there in the front row. He hasn't laughed once through the entire show.
Maybe he's a spy for Fred Allen.
No, he hasn't got him in uniform yet. I'm going to find out what's bothering that fella. Hey, soldier. Hey, private. You there in the front row.
Me?
Yes, you. Come up here on the stage a minute. Phil, give him a hand, will you?
Okay.
That's it. Now, step right over here.
Yes, sir.
Look, soldier, I've been watching you all through the show, and you haven't as much as smiled once. I'm curious to know why you're so sad.
Well...
Yes?
Why shouldn't I be sad? Today...
Yes?
Today they're going to give me my discharge.
What?
Today they're taking away my uniform and sending me home.
No, I know how you feel, but try and cheer up.
Well, that's right, soldier. It isn't so bad going home. Lots of soldiers like it. They force themselves.
Well, I'll bet you'll forget all about March Field in a few days.
What? Me forget about the wonderful times I've had here? All the fun I've had living in those beautiful barracks?
Soldier?
Forget about... about the wonderful weather which kept me so nice and cool in the winter that I didn't thaw out till the sun fried me in August? You expect me to forget about the lovely dust storms I've enjoyed here?
Soldier!
No other dust in the country is as healthy as this dust.
Now, Private!
You expect me to forget about our cute little mess hall with 800 or 900 friends blowing in my soup?
Soldier, please.
You expect me to forget all those guys who were so sweet to me? My buddies, the lieutenants, the captains, the majors?
Soldier, take it easy. You got this thing all wrong. They don't just turn you out like that. They give you a button. You'll be proud of it. A beautiful bronze button.
But you can't buy any clothes. Where am I going to wear it?
Now, soldier, don't you worry about clothes. Things aren't as bad as you think they are. Yeah, you see me after the show, and we'll have a little talk.
Oh, Jack, you're not going to sell him your suit.
Mary, he can have his choice. I brought 5 of them with me. I'll talk to you after the program, soldier. Now, sit down and cheer up. All right, Phil, let's have a band number, and then we'll... I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Rochester, where are you? You should have been here an hour ago.
It isn't my fault, boss. I went off the road and got lost.
Well, where are you now?
A farmhouse.
Well, ask the farmer how to get to Marge Field.
The farmer isn't here.
Well, who is there?
The farmer's daughter, a soldier, and an MP.
MP, military police?
No, a minister from Pomona.
Oh, well, offer them my congratulations and come on out here.
Okay.
Now, remember, when you get to Riverside, you go through town, then turn right, and Marge Field is just 8 miles ahead. Now, leave the farmhouse right away and get out here.
But, boss, I can't leave till after the wedding.
Till after the wedding? Why not?
They're giving me a pound of butter to sing Oh, Promise Me.
Oh, well, give them 2 fast choruses and get out here. I'm waiting for you.
Okay.
What's the matter, Jack?
Something always... That was Personality, played by Phil Harris, and it makes you want to be transferred to Muroc Orchestra. What a band. And now, folks...
There he goes again. There he goes picking on the band. Libby, tell Jackson to lay off.
Phil's right, Jack. His boys may not be great musicians, but at least they're gentlemen.
Mary, just because they tip their hats when they pass a pool room doesn't mean they're gentlemen. Now, let's forget it.
Well, I'm not forgetting it, Jackson. My boys don't like that stuff. They're sensitive. The things you said about them at rehearsal made them cry.
Made them cry?
Yeah, they may look like that they're tough and they ain't got no feelings, but they'll cry at the drop of a bottle.
Only if it breaks, believe me. And the least you can do is tell Frankie, your guitar player, to do something about his appearance. That hair of his. The way it stands up, he looks like he was pardoned after they threw the switch. Now, let's get on. Come in. Yes?
Pardon me for interrupting your program, Mr. Benny, but there's a soldier here who's being discharged, and it's time for him to go home.
Oh, yes, Colonel. I was talking to him before. There he is in the front row.
Oh, yes. Come on, son, it's time to go home.
No, not yet. I don't want to go yet. Please don't make me go.
But, son, the limousine is waiting, and the chauffeur will drive you all the way home.
I don't care. I don't want to go yet.
But, son, we let you stay here for most of the program.
I know, but I don't want to leave until I hear the commercial.
Well, bless his little heart. Don, let him hear the commercial. We don't want to keep the limousine waiting.
Okay. L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Ah, that's it, but not so fast. I want to enjoy it longer.
Yes, take it easy, Donna.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
There you are.
No, don't stop here. Tell me more. I want to hear it. Please.
Go ahead, Don. Tell him more, kid.
All right. Lucky Strikes are made of the finer, the lighter, the naturally milder tobaccos. Yes, sir, you bet. For real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I'll go now. I'll go. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Very much, Colonel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Benny. Now, just go right ahead with your program.
You know, kids, I was thinking, I'll bet a lot of people listen to our program just to hear the commercials.
My mother only listens to the commercials and my singing.
You're... Oh, hello, Dennis. I didn't see you come in. What was that you said before, Dennis?
I said my mother thinks the only good parts on the show are the commercials and my singing.
Oh, she does, huh?
Yeah. She thinks you're the worst comedian on the air.
Oh, she does, huh?
Yeah. She thinks you're awful.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When you say hello again, she gets sick to her stomach.
Now, wait a minute. I've always had trouble with your mother. When you first came to work for me, she came down to the studio and tried to make a big fuss. But she didn't scare me.
Well, you better stay away from her now, Mr. Benny.
Why?
She took boxing lessons from Ingrid Bergman.
All I know is your mother never did like me. Mary's mother hates me, too.
Oh, Jack, my mother does not hate you.
She does, too.
She does not.
Then why, Mary? Tell me, why does she go around telling everybody that I'm the cheapest guy in the world?
Because you are.
Oh. Well, she's lucky I am, or I'd sue her for everything she's got. Believe me.
Anyway, Mr. Benny, whether my mother likes you or not, I'm glad I'm back with you since I got out of the Navy.
Well... Thank
and I
kid.
Like this suit you sold me, too.
It's all right, kid.
But gee, Mr. Benny, I never saw pants before with the pleats in the back.
Let's see, Dennis, you got the pants on backwards.
Oh, I guess I was in the Navy too long.
That's probably it. Say, Dennis, now that you're here, how about having... Oh, my goodness, that's Rochester. He's probably lost again. Mary, you answer it, will you?
Okay. Hello?
Hello, is my daddy there?
Your daddy? Oh, is this Phil Harris's little girl?
Uh-huh. Is this Mr. Betty's little girl?
No. No, this is Miss Livingston. You know, honey, I saw your mother yesterday at the beauty parlor. Gosh, she certainly is pretty.
You think she's prettier than my daddy?
Well, yes, I do.
Me too, but don't tell daddy.
Well, don't worry, I'll keep it a secret. Just a minute, I'll call your daddy. Your daughter's on the phone, beautiful.
Okay. Hello, baby.
Hello, Daddy. Do you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow? No, what is it?
It's Mommy's birthday.
Oh, my goodness, that's right, and I didn't buy a thing for her.
Gee, Daddy, you're in a mess. Do you want me to leave the back door unlocked for you again?
No, honey, I'll get her something this afternoon. Look, what do you think Mommy would like for a birthday present?
Well, let's see. Why don't you get her a green dress to match the pool table you gave her for Christmas?
No, baby. You're all mixed up. She gave that to me.
Oh, Daddy, I'm writing Mommy a birthday card, and I got stuck. How do you spell birthday?
Well, how far have you gotten?
I just got B-I.
Well, it's B-I, B-I, look, just leave it that way. Mommy will figure it out.
Gosh, I thought you know how to spell it.
Well, certainly I know how to spell it, but I'm busy, honey. We're right in the middle of a program, and you ought to know that I haven't got time to fool with that stuff.
Hey, Daddy, you're so cute when you're mad.
Yeah. Hey, Jackson, how do you spell birthday?
B-I-R-T-H-D-A-Y.
Honey, it's B-I-R-T-H-D-A-Y.
Thanks, Daddy. And thank Mr. Benny, too. Bye.
Goodbye. Phil, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Imagine not knowing how to spell birthday.
Well, I know how to spell it, but you forget from year to year.
Now, Dennis, as I was telling you before, when you do your song, I'm going to... Oh, for heaven's sake, nothing but interruptions. I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, boss, it's me.
Oh, my goodness, where are you now?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't tell me you're lost again.
Lost? I found roads that even Hope and Crosby don't know about.
What?
I passed Utopia twice.
Roger, have you any idea where you are now?
Wait till I look at the sign.
What does it say?
From the cradle to the grave, always use Burma Shave.
I don't mean that. Now, Rochester, listen carefully. Come back to Riverside. Then go through the town, turn to the right, and you can't miss Marge Field.
Who can?
You can't. Rochester, look, just ask somebody. Ask anybody how to get there.
Wait a minute, boss. A soldier just came in to use the phone. I'll ask him.
Okay.
Say, soldier, how do you get to March Field?
March Field, March Field. They're taking me away from there. I want to go back. I want to go back. Please, please.
What's going on there?
It's no use, boss. I'll have to find it myself.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Day will sing a song written by Frank Lesser and dedicated to the memory of one of America's greatest war heroes, Roger Young. An entire company of his comrades would be spared shellfire from the enemy. Roger Young was just an ordinary guy before he enlisted, and in the Army he was just a private. But he was a hero, and he died a hero's death. In death, songs have been written about him, ballparks and boulevards have been named in his honor. Alive, however, Roger Young would be just another GI, looking for a place to live, like most of his buddies. So it is only fitting and proper that one of the first of the many veterans' emergency housing projects to be completed is Roger Young Village, which will open on April 27th in Griffith Park, Los Angeles. Let us hope that naming this series of Quonset huts Roger Young Village will serve as a reminder that the boys are home now and they must have the things in life that Roger Young and his comrades fought and died for.
Just a minute, but first, here is my good friend, L.A. Speed Riggs.
Remember this all-important fact.
Thank all the officers and men stationed here at March Field for inviting us down here today. Had a swell time. And say, Mary.
What, Jack?
You know who's going to be our guest star next week? The MGM star, Van Johnson. I hope we bring her too by next Sunday. Good night, folks.
Good night.